All right, turning back to the book of Colossians, the epistle to the Colossians. We started in last week with the introduction, talking about the two meanings of the name Colossi, and we finished up with the thought of correction. Allegedly one of the meanings of the name is correction. And correction is a very important ingredient in our growth. And our pastor, it was so wonderful the way the Lord had it done today. As he finished up his message, he mentioned that many times we think of somebody who confesses a need of mercy as having, you know, being, what did you do, you know, and it's not anything to be ashamed of, it's something to be desired, and very much the same way with correction. And I take you back again to what is perhaps the most important statement about correction there in Hebrews. Paul says, whom God loves, he chastens. Amen. And if you're without correction, you're a bastard. And that's a terrible thing to say, but it's the truth. Okay? So, and I think our, you know, over the past few months or so, our pastor has kind of brought us to the point where we think of ourselves as vessels of mercy, and we kind of get into where we kind of like that mercy. Well, it should be the same way with correction. I want to be corrected because I don't want to miss the mark.
Amen.
Okay? And as the pilots can tell you, you start out on an airplane journey or even a journey on a boat, and your bearings are off by half a degree. Half a degree. Okay, pull out your protractor and look at half a degree. You can hardly make the distinction. But after a journey of a couple thousand miles, where are we? You're way off course. You're way off where you wanted to be. And how much more in this race that we're running for the mark? It's a narrow way. And we want to hit the mark. We want to hit the bullseye. We don't want to be in the 10 ring or the 9 ring. We want to hit the bullseye. And the only way to do that is to be on course exactly. And one of the passages we read last week, it is not in man to devise his steps. We need the outside influence. We need the course corrections. So let's embrace that correction and not be ashamed of it or shy about it. But let's embrace the correction just like we want to embrace the mercy. So with that, we will move on. And if somebody will go to the first chapter of Ephesians, the theme of Colossians is Christ in. And the high point of that theme is here in verse 27 of chapter 1, which is where Paul says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. But we're going to see that throughout the book, the emphasis is put on the fact that Jesus isn't everything, and he is everything. So if somebody wants to read for us here in chapter 1, verse 16.
Talking about Ephesians?
No, in Colossians.
That's okay. For by him were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him.
Okay. Doesn't that mean he's in them?
Yes.
If he created them and they're for him? Yeah. Verse 18, Hagen.
And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence.
In all things, he's going to be first.
Yes.
All right. Verse 19.
Yes. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell.
Okay, it all dwells in him, all right? It's still in him, and he's in it. In chapter 2, verse 3, oh, wait a minute, we missed verse 23.
If you continue in the faith grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which you have heard and which was preached to every creature, which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister.
Okay, the gospel was preached to every creature under heaven. Mm-hmm. Jesus is in it.
Yeah.
All right. Mm-hmm. Okay, now, chapter 2, verse 3.
In whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge.
And verse 9.
For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily.
Ah, that's a good one.
Yeah.
Verse 10.
And ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power.
In chapter 3, verse 3.
For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God.
Verse 11.
Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond or free, but Christ is all and in all.
And verse 16.
Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord.
Okay, and in chapter 4, verse 5.
Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time.
Okay. In Ephesians 1, whoever's there, verses 20 through 23.
Far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all.
Okay, and in chapter 14, verse 10.
He that descendeth is the same also that ascendeth up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things.
Okay. So you see, some of these verses talked about something in Christ. But if you really think about it, what's the difference in Christ or Christ in them? He still fills it all. Okay, so it's more a matter of perspective, which way you're looking at, but he is still in that. All right? Okay, let's have somebody go to John chapter 1, someone to 2 Peter 1, someone to Hebrews 5. Ty, Acts 26, someone to Ephesians 3, and someone to Galatians 1. So just like in his Ephesian epistle, Paul here commences this epistle with his credentials as an apostle. But notice, it's by the will of God, not by any desire of Paul's or any other man's. It's by the will of God. And that's very important. Whoever's in John 1, verse 13. Go ahead.
Which were born, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God.
Okay. He's talking there about our salvation. We weren't born of our own will.
Mm-hmm.
We read in other places that, given our choice, we would have run the other direction when God came after us. It says we love darkness rather than light. That's horrible.
You have to hide.
What's that?
You have to hide.
Oh, sure. Yeah. When the guy comes looking for you with a flashlight, you got to find someplace to hide.
I have to go dig a hole.
Yeah. Okay, 2 Peter 1, whoever's there, verse 21.
For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost.
Okay, again, man had no peace in this thing. It was God's will. It was his direction, his enabling. Hebrews 5, whoever's there, the first four verses.
For every high priest taken from among men is ordained for men in things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. Who can have compassion on the ignorant and on them that are out of the way, for that he himself also is compassed with infirmity. And by reason hereof, he ought, as for the people, so also for himself, to offer for sins. And no man taketh this honor unto himself, but he that is called of God, as was Aaron.
Okay. No man takes this honor to himself. And those that do pay very dearly for it. You may remember one incident comes to mind in the Old Testament. Remember the king named Josiah? Mm-hmm. Wonderful man. Yes. What a tremendous walk he had with the Lord. He started yielding to the Lord and ruling as a child, yeah. Like maybe 8 years old. Of course, obviously he had adult counselors and things. Yeah. But wonderful testimony. But then he got a little overzealous and he decided that he was going to play the part of a priest too. And when he came to the door of the temple, the priests did their best. They said, Josiah, this doesn't apply to you. This isn't for you. And he pushed him out of the way and went in. Anybody remember what the result of that was?
Dead.
He was made a leper.
Leprosy, yeah.
Yeah. Terrible price to pay. Because he assumed, he thought he was going to take something on that God hadn't appointed him to. So we want to let the Lord lead in these things. Mm-hmm. Not of our choice. There's nothing wrong with having a desire. Understand that. But wait on the Lord.
Amen.
He said, he gave you a promise. He said a man's gift makes a room for him. So just wait. He'll open the door. You don't have to force it. He will open it. And if you'll let him open it, it will be in abundance. Okay? All right. Now, Paul didn't and never would have chosen the path that the Lord had for him. Duh. For more than one reason. First of all, he was a Pharisee. And the path that God wanted him to walk, you got to be out of your mind. That's the total opposite of who I am and what I've stood for all my life. Right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh,
yes. Okay? And on top of that, sufferings, deprivation, hunger, nakedness, shipwreck, you got to be out of your mind. Okay? Who would choose that? You wouldn't. But God chose it for him. Okay? And it was a wonderful thing. So he didn't choose it. He was simply a yielded vessel. As are all overcomers.
Amen.
Okay? Acts 26, tie verses 13 through 19.
At midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven above the brightness of the sun shining round about me and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me, and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision.
I love double negatives. I was not disobedient. Oh my, not in any sense of the word. Ephesians 3, whoever's there, verse 7.
Whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power.
Okay. And we want to notice in this verse, that gift was given to Paul, not because of Paul's record or his past life, not because he was such a good Pharisee. It was the grace of God.
Amen.
In other places, he refers to himself as the chief of sinners. because I persecuted the church of God and wasted it. Okay? So it wasn't because of Paul's record or his personality or his heritage or his genealogy mm-hmm. or anything else.
That message was going to go on regardless.
What's that?
That message was going to go on regardless.
Oh, yeah, but he had a vessel. Yeah. And in God's foreknowledge, he knew that vessel would yield.
Amen. Okay? Amen.
Galatians 1, whoever's there, verses 13 through 16.
For you have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it, and profited in the Jews' religion above many by equal in mine own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb, he called me by his grace to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen. Immediately I conferred not with the flesh and blood. That's to 16, right?
Through 16.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then verse 24, Tim.
And they glorified God in me.
Okay. Now, here again, notice what Paul says there, what the Lord showed him. God separated him from before he was born naturally. So he knew his vessel, and he knew that vessel would yield. But how old was Paul, Ty? 30? A little less than...
What time, probably?
When he got saved. Late 20s, maybe? 30?
I personally think he was in his early
20s. Okay. All that time, 30 years, 30 plus years, God had separated him. Of course, you can go even further back than that. The Lord had his plan in him from before the foundation of the world. But look how long he let that poor guy string himself along, killing Christians and putting them in prison and everything else before he set the hook, if you will, and said, hey, it's time to do something different. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't of Paul. It was always of God. Mm-hmm. Okay? All right. Then he goes on. He says in verse 2, to the saints and faithful brethren. And I pointed out before how important it is to take note of these little words like with and but. And here we have saints and faithful brethren. These two classes of believers are present and found in every assembly. That is not making a judgment. It is, as our pastor says, simply recognizing it is what it is. You and I both know that there are brethren, saints, who show up maybe once a week, maybe not. Okay? That's just the way it is. That's not a condemnation or a judgment. It's just the way it is. It breaks my heart just like I hope it breaks yours. Okay? But here's the thing. Paul greeted, loved, and prayed for both alike.
Amen.
All right? Even though he recognized there were those that weren't running for the prize, he prayed and loved alike for both of them. That should be a pattern for us. Let's have somebody go to John, the letter of 1 John, someone to 1 Corinthians 10, and someone to Ephesians 4. Now, as far as this difference here between saints and faithful brethren, John recognized and acknowledged them in his epistle as well, so it wasn't just Paul. Whoever's in 1 John chapter 2, read verse 13 for us.
All right, unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning, I write unto you, young men, because ye have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because ye have known the Father.
Okay, you see degrees there mm-hmm. of growth. All right, so it's not something that was unique to Paul. Now, Paul himself taught that the body of Christ is one, with no schisms, no divisions. So again, he was careful and glad to acknowledge all saints. All right? Look at verses 3 and 4. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you that are the full overcomers.
No.
It doesn't say that. It says for you. Since we heard of those that have the overcoming faith in Christ Jesus and the love which you have to all the saints. No. He prayed for all of them. Okay? Whoever's in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 17.
For we being many are one bread and one body. But we are all partakers of that one bread.
And then in chapter 12, James verses 12 and 13.
For as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. Whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit.
Okay, verse 20.
But now are they many members, yet one body.
Verse 25.
That there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another.
Okay. Then whoever's in Ephesians 4, verse 4.
There is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called, in one hope of your calling.
Amen.
Okay. Now here, if you think about it, going back to 1 Corinthians 10:25, where we have a care for one another. Every one of us that have been parents have had children. We don't give birth to those children and then leave them to fend for themselves. We nurture them. We want to see them grow up, if you'll permit me a little bit of a paraphrase. We want to see those children grow up into the fullness of the measure of the stature of adults.
Amen.
Right?
Yeah.
We don't want them to stay children. We want them to grow up.
Amen.
Okay, so if we as believers, as saints, have the love of God for one another, we want to see those that may not be running for the prize, we want to see them grow up
Amen.
Into it.
Amen.
It's a burden to our hearts. It's an ache to our hearts. And I've said it before, and I'm sure you've probably said it in testifying to people. I don't want to see anybody miss God's best.
Amen.
Amen.
Okay? I know they will, but that doesn't change my desire for them. Okay? And I think somewhere Joe didn't it say that loving his own, Jesus loved them to the end?
Amen. Yes.
Okay? Are we going to give up on somebody?
No.
No.
I hope not.
No.
Okay. All right. Now, let's
what
have some...
What identifies us...
What's that?
What identifies us being off course? How would you know?
You know, you don't. You don't.
The Holy Ghost is going to tell you?
It's not evident. It's not evident.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, yeah. It is.
Absolutely. If you're off by the slightest degree, he's going to deal with your heart.
Philippians said that if you be otherwise minded.
Minded, sure. If you be otherwise minded. But see, the problem comes in, Sean, when we're not listening, when we're not tuned in. That's where so many people miss it. How many times over the last year has our pastor emphasized that repeated statement in Revelation? Let him that heareth hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. Okay, him that read it. Okay, we want to listen to the Holy Ghost. All right? I'm not going to go into details, but the Holy Ghost started dealing with me about something tonight concerning the class. I don't know where it's going to go, but, you know, I don't think I was ignoring it up to now, but I felt like he, as I was praying, he just said, okay, it's time to start thinking about this. Ooh, okay. James?
Yes. You know, I was just thinking the way you brought that out. And I know what the Word says, that God would have all humans to be saved and come to the full knowledge of the truth. Mm-hmm. And I guess it was mentioned. What I'm going to do is say this. When Peter said, when he was instructed to rise, slay, and eat, and he said, not so. And we know why. But when it was revealed to him when he was trying to explain to him that he perceived that God is no respecter of person. Mm-hmm. And as Paul, what he was called to and for, as far as the mercy and the grace of God, he could not be a respecter of person in the sense of souls, right, along with the fact that what he...
What did James say about having respect of persons?
I don't.
Anybody remember? Mm-hmm. Let me turn to James and find it. What did James say about dealing with people?
If you show,
whether they're rich or poor. Yeah. You want to get in some hot water fast. What did he say about that, Joe?
So, it's just amazing.
God. Not good, what he said.
So where did you see that? The way you brought that out prior to, you know, and it just seemed like the lights came on for me, like that particular verse in Scripture. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and when you're in that position, but when you're called to that position, and Peter had to kind of, God had to show him, and Paul, he what he was called, but he still had to have compassion, mm-hmm, for the many, for the few, just whosoever, I guess. I don't know.
In all the history of mankind, which person or persons did God not give his son for? Yeah. Yeah. Hasn't been one.
Wow.
Joe, do you find that?
Yeah. But if you have respect to persons, you commit sin and are convinced of the law as transgressors.
Whew. That's pretty stout, Joe. Mm-hmm. Yikes.
That's James what?
2:9.
Yeah, that was
okay. Okay, so there you have it.
Jesus.
Yes, we recognize conditions as they are.
Yes.
But that doesn't mean we yield to those conditions.
Right.
Okay. We see those that aren't running for the prize, and not that we're to judge that anyway. We just love one another.
Amen.
And we encourage one another. Okay?
So, I was struggling with that, and the Holy Spirit just lets me see hearts and souls now.
Good.
Because when you're bad and then you get this, then you see all the bad in others, but you can't do that. You cannot not. You can't do that. And so the Holy Spirit intervened for me and just said, you're just only going to see hearts and souls.
Amen.
Yeah, our pastor says it all the time now.
He does.
He loves Christ in you. Mm-hmm. And he wants us to be the same way. Mm-hmm. Okay?
Scott, and so James was the Lord's brother, half-brother, I guess, whatever. And he could have said, my brother. You know, when I say brother, I'm talking about DNA. Uh-huh. And he could have use that to really, but I will get in the middle into that time and bringing that up about. And he could have had a lot of respect for
him. Sure.
I'm sure he did.
Look at Paul, the Pharisee. You didn't walk up to Paul or any other Pharisee and, hey, Paul, can I ask you? No. Way to get slapped. You didn't touch that man. He was a Pharisee. Yeah. Now, given that, you don't think Paul had any trouble when the Lord said, Paul, I'm sending you to the Gentiles. Oh, you mean those dirty dogs? Ugh.
Jesus.
He had to get over that real quick.
Yeah. Okay.
Because that was in that class of respective persons. Yeah. See, what James had to say, the Holy Spirit had to minister to Paul, and he had to take it real fast and understand it completely.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Okay? All right.
Yeah, it's hard to give blood to someone you're judging.
Okay, let's have somebody go to Ephesians 1 and read verse 15 for us.
Wherefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, and love unto all the saints.
Yes.
Oh, my. Don't you love those Ephesians? To use a modern phrase, they were at the top of their game. Boy, love unto all the saints. Well, guess what? Read verse 4 here in chapter 1. What's it say?
According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world.
No. Colossians 1.
Oh, Colossians 1. Yeah. Read verse
4. What's it say?
Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which you have to all the saints.
Oh. Yes. Okay.
Same statement. So again, I emphasize to you, just because there's maybe some admonishments in this epistle to the Colossian saints, and just because Paul had yet to meet them face to face, don't disparage them. They were right up there with their Ephesian brethren. They were running for the prize. Okay? They couldn't have been if they didn't have love unto all the saints. That is the litmus test, if you will. How many of you took chemistry of any kind? Okay, don't you love that litmus paper?
Oh, yeah.
Don't get in there and it changes color.
Right.
Red or blue.
Okay. The litmus test for being an overcomer is grace and truth.
Amen.
Truth and love. All right? So the Colossians weren't lagging behind in anything. All right, now, notice here in verse 5, this phrase, the hope which is laid up for you, is the same as the hope of the gospel down in verse 23 of this chapter. And what I want to notice in verse 5, it says, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven. It's not of heaven.
In.
All right? Nowhere, well, let's not get ahead of ourselves. Somebody will go to John 6, someone to 1 Thessalonians 4. That word in there, the hope that's laid up in heaven, again, it's number 1722 in the Strong's Greek. It's the Greek word in. And I remind you again of the three tenses in the Greek. You have S, E-I-S, which is going into. You have in. And you have ek, or X, which is going out of. In doesn't mean just passing through. It means going in and staying, abiding. Okay? One commentator or dictionary gives it the word in is any place, in any place, with the primary idea of rest or remaining in place. All right? Now, nowhere in the rightly divided scripture is there a hope of getting to heaven for believers. Amen. Getting to heaven is their unavoidable destination.
Amen.
This may become news as news to you, but if you've accepted Christ as your Savior,
Amen.
You're on your way. Sorry, it's signed, sealed, and delivered. All right? John 6, whoever's there, verse 37.
all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out.
And in chapter 14, Sean, verse 3.
And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, and where I am, there you may be also.
Okay. 1 Thessalonians 4, whoever's there, verses 13 through 18.
But I would not have you be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so then also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven without a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first.
Okay. Let's have somebody go to Romans 8, someone to 2 Timothy 2, someone to 1 Thessalonians 5, and someone to 2 Corinthians 1. Now, the only question, if you want to call it a question, that's ever termed a hope in the Bible has to do with our place. In other words, our reward, our position, or our rank in heaven. And again, I remind you that most of the time when you see the word hope in the King James, it's number 1680 in the Strong's Greek. It means confidence or expectation, not a wish. Okay? There's no question about it. Romans 8, whoever's there, verse 17.
And if children and heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together.
All right. And notice in that verse, the words and if. Two important little words, and if. All right. 2 Timothy 2, whoever's there, verse 10.
Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sakes, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory.
Okay, a little word with there. So, the only question, again, or hope, is in our place. And this will only be found and revealed in the truth of the gospel that is spoken of there in verse 24 of Colossians 1. Oh dear, what was that?
Verse
reference to it a minute ago.
Hope of the Gospel, 23.
23? Okay, hope of the Gospel. All right. And of course, the truth of the Gospel is nothing more than Paul's Gospel.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Now, if somebody will go to 1 Thessalonians 5 and read verses 8 and 9.
But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet, the hope of salvation.
Okay. I made a note. You do find this phrase, the hope of salvation, once here in Thessalonians. But if you will study the context along with Paul's other declarations about it, you'll find that the hope there refers to the changing of our bodies. Okay, our glorified bodies, which also happens to be the third phase, if you will, of salvation. And whoever's in 2 Corinthians 1 will find those three phases of our salvation in verse 10.
Who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us.
Amen.
Okay. He delivered us from so great a death, the guilt of sin. He does deliver us right now. It's an ongoing process from the power of sin. And one day when our bodies are changed, we will be delivered from the very presence of sin.
Glory to God.
Okay, that's what the hope of salvation, that's what That's the helmet that we wear. I can't wait for the Lord to come back,
Jesus,
and get rid of this
right.
vile body of humiliation. Mm-hmm. Now, that's one small aspect. I want the Lord to come back because I want to see him and be Amen. With him. Amen. But this change in the twinkle of an eye is going to be one of the things that's going to happen that indicates that it's happened. Okay. So that's the hope that we have.
Glory to God.
Because when that happens, we will be changed.
Amen.
All right? Okay. Now, so the truth of the gospel that Paul refers to once or twice in his letters, and the hope of the gospel, those who refuse to acknowledge this, that the question is not about whether we get to heaven, but simply what are we going to have when we get there, those who refuse to acknowledge this are holding to and promoting a perverted and corrupted gospel. Paul talks about the truth of the gospel. Well, there's a perverted gospel and or a corrupted gospel. There are those, Paul said, that pervert the gospel of Christ, and that word is number 3344, and it means to change direction.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? You're changing direction from Paul's revelation. And we talked about direction last week. All right? If a little deviation of 2 degrees could make those astronauts miss getting back, what is a change of direction from Paul's gospel going to do? As our pastor likes to say recently, it's going to land you in the palm waver section.
Yeah.
Okay? All right? The word corrupted that he uses, I believe, in the perverted gospel is in Galatians 1, 6 through 9, where he talks about a corrupted gospel is in 2 Corinthians 2, 17. And the word corrupted is number 2585 in the Strong's Greek. And I love this. It means a huckster. Do you know what a huckster is?
I got a ticket for that in Denver Park with my ice cream truck.
Okay. A huckster was a snake oil salesman. Okay?
Yeah.
It means to adulterate. If you adulterate something, you corrupt it. All right? So, those that corrupt the gospel are adulterating it, again, according to Paul. Okay. Now, in verse 6, he says, which is come unto you as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit, as it doth also in you, since the day ye heard of it, and knew the grace of God in truth. The fruit which comes forth from the hearing of the grace of God in truth is, of course, the fruit of the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll find that in Galatians 5. And it's interesting that when you look at the fruit of the Spirit, guess which one is first?
Love.
Isn't that interesting?
Love.
Okay? The hope imparted by a belief of Paul's message will create in the heart of the believer that love for all the saints, which is the telltale mark of the full overcomer. Whoever's can go to Romans 5. And someone else to Hebrews 2. And whoever gets to Romans 5, read the first 5 verses for us.
Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulations worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us.
Okay. Whoever's in Hebrews 4, verse 2.
Hebrews
For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it.
Okay. Hope is a product of two ingredients, hearing and faith, or believing. Those two ingredients will produce hope. So, it's interesting that Paul notes here in verse 6 that this fruit commenced when the Colossians heard and knew the grace of God in truth. Now, what's interesting here in this verse, the word new, K-N-E-W, is number 1921 in the Strong's Greek, and we've had it before. It's the word epignosko. And if you break it down, it's a compound word. Knowing something in the scriptures is gnosko, okay, if I know something. Okay, for instance, I know that Kai is a retired pilot.
Yes.
I gnosko that.
Yes.
Had I been willing to get on a plane that Ty was flying, going to fly when he was a pilot, I would have epignoscoed that he was a pilot. I would have been, because epi means upon. Uh-huh. So you're knowing upon something. You're willing to bet your life on that knowledge. That's epignosko. Okay? So, knowing upon is a knowing or knowledge that is sure enough to make one willing to bet one's life on it. Now, if you think about it, all believers have bet their life on the gospel to some minor extent, i.e. salvation. Okay? But full overcomers continually place their entire existence and thus their forever on the altar of sacrifice. You and I bet our lives on this gospel by the way we live.
Yes.
By allowing the Lord to lead us, to speak to us.
Praise the Lord.
Let's have somebody go to Job 13, someone to 1 Corinthians 15, and someone to 2 Corinthians 2. And whoever gets to Job 13, verse 15.
Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him, but I will maintain mine own ways before him.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Job epignoscoed God. He bet his life on God's faithfulness. Okay. 1 Corinthians 15, whoever's there, verses 31, 30 through 31. Sorry.
And why stand we in jeopardy every hour? I protest by your rejoicing, which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord, I die daily.
Okay. 2 Corinthians 2, whoever's there, verses 15 and 16.
For we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ, in them that they saved, and in them that perish. To the one we are with savor of death unto death, and to the other the savor of life unto life. And who is sufficient for these things?
So, in closing tonight, the Colossians, and incidentally, you and I, have bet our lives on the truth of the grace of God.
Yes.
In other words, Paul's message.
Yes.
Okay? Sam?
I guess you could say, I know that I know that I know that I know.
Where have I heard that before? Yes, indeed, you could. Sean?
Not that I'm going to need it, but what was the two ingredients for hope?
Hearing and faith, or hearing and believing.
Thank you.
Okay, it's not enough to hear it. If you don't believe it, it profits you nothing.
Amen.
According to Paul. Okay, hope it was a blessing.
Thank you, Scott.